New historical research has discovered that Sappho had a family and committed suicide for the love of another man. Sappho is represented on the water's edge at Erisos by a clever two-part statue, which forms the poet in silhouette, and also by a pyramid on which is inscribed the following poem, read by my translator, Dee Murphy.
Some may be horsemen, others soldiers or sailors, but they are all agreed, as I am, that the most beautiful thing on our dark earth is that for which one feels love. Here she refers to love as erota. There is, of course, the word agape in love, which has a non-erotic connotation. Maybe this is why people feel that Sappho was a lesbian.
But not everyone is happy with being called a lesbian. Ms. Lyons again.
No, but not particularly. I like being called Barbara. I'm just Barbara.
The issue is unlikely to be resolved this time around. Both sides are planning to appeal if they lose.
And that was Malcolm Brabant reporting there from the Greek island of Lesbos.
The BBC World Service in the United States is distributed by Public Radio International. Distribution is made possible in part by the Medtronic Foundation, working to reduce heart disease, the number one killer of women in the United States, by supporting Women Heart and the 2008 Wenger Awards. Information at womenheart.org, and by individual donors to PRI, whose contributions help bring innovation and diversity to public radio programming.
WILL programs are made possible by English Hedgerow, a special event florist, bistro, and full-service caterer on the corner of University and Lincoln Avenue, Urbana. English Hedgerow delivers distinctive bouquets, plants, gift baskets, and gourmet box lunches throughout the Champaign-Urbana area.
We featured the second half of the BBC program Europe Today this afternoon. It was recorded this morning at 11:30. Central Time. You're tuned to the Afternoon Magazine. Kyle Mabry is our technical director this afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Tom Rogers is here with our report of AM 580 News.
Thanks, Celeste. Good afternoon. While many parts of East Central Illinois are still recovering from flooded roads and properties, storm damage is the biggest concern of late in Coles County. Officials will decide today whether to seek disaster declaration after tornado and straight-line winds hit a portion of the area Friday. Caused various amounts of damage to about 100 properties. Coles County Emergency Management Coordinator Tom Watson says that decision will be made after meeting with County Board Chair Jan Eads. He says an initial damage estimate was done Saturday, but a more extensive one may be required.
From that point, it would be up to the state to determine whether or not we had enough damage here. And they'd be looking at uninsured damage, so I'm not sure that we would have enough uninsured damage, but we'll try to see, you know, see if we can get some help for some of the people that did sustain damage.
The worst storm damage on Friday happened in the village of Lerna, where about 70 structures were hit by a tornado, while straight-line winds hit the south side of Mattoon and made their way through Charleston. Numerous trees and power lines were hit, but Watson says most of that debris was removed from the roads within a matter of hours. Power was quickly restored. The greatest concern for flooding remains along the Embra River. Watson says a roadblock on Route 16 east of Charleston was removed this morning, but he notes that more rain is expected today, and other roadblocks in Mattoon were removed over the weekend. Officials say Interstate 57 in Cook and Will counties is moving again after storms there dumped power lines over the weekend, forcing parts of the highway to close. But Mike Claffey of the Illinois Department of Transportation says ComEd is still working in the area. Traffic is reduced to one lane in each direction from Stunkel Road to Monee Manhattan Road. Seven down high-voltage power lines had closed portions of I-57 over the weekend. Illinois may not have enough money in its unemployment reserves for a lengthy recession. That's according to a study by the National Employment Law Project advocacy group. Lynette Kalsness reports.
Economists recommend that states have enough saved to pay a year's worth of unemployment claims. Yet the Law Project's Andrew Stettner says Illinois only had about 4 months of reserves at the end of last year.
A state like Illinois that is nearly insolvent or inadequately funded, you know, category does have some time, you know, to get ahead of it and potentially make changes.
Stettner says he hopes the study encourages leaders to shore up reserves in good times rather than cutting benefits and raising taxes when times are bad. If the state runs out of money, workers still get their benefits, but Illinois would have to borrow from the federal government with interest. The Illinois Department of Employment Security could not be reached for comment. I'm Lynette Kalsness.
The southeastern Illinois town of Grayville once thought it was getting a state prison and hundreds of jobs to go along with it. That never occurred, and as Sean Crawford reports, the community now hopes the state returns land given for the project.
Despite over 5 years having passed since Governor Rod Blagojevich scrapped the Grayville Prison project, the state still holds title to nearly 250 acres there. The city bought the property and gave it to the state. Grayville also extended sewer and water lines to the site. Republican Senator John Jones says that location could be prime for commercial development if the state would just give it back. His legislation requiring the land be returned is on the governor's desk, and Jones says Blagojevich told him he'll sign it. Jones says looking back, he understands the governor's decision to halt construction on the prison.
I don't totally disagree with his decision. It was upsetting at the time, not only to me, but all the residents of southeastern Illinois. But, you know, we've still got prisons that's not completely full right now that we built new. And so maybe it was the right decision. The past is the past. We need to move forward, and we need to convey this to the city of Grayville.
Jones says there's been interest in the property and the state.